tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage. Road rage. What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, producer Morgan Thomas?
I am amped up. I got my monster drink down. I'm ready to go.
Captain Morgan Thomas. You know, I was talking to my man Keanu here before the show, talking to Clark and Keanu, and I had called him, and I said, Keanu, stay out of the women's bathroom. Because that was part of the discussion earlier. And he's laughing. He says, well, you got to tell the rest of it, though. You got to give it some context. I said, no, I don't. I said, it's called the greater good, Keanu. It's a long standard operating procedure of the show. It's called the greater good. I told this story about this guy I used to host a show with a million years ago, Morgan. His name was Lee, okay? During a break, right, his tooth pops out on the counter.
What?
Yeah, his tooth popped out on the counter. And he said, well, we can't mention this on the air. And I said, oh, no, Lee. I said, we're 100% mentioned on the air. It's called the greater good.
I mean, you know, I already know.
Yeah,
anything I say in between breaks is fair game for Walt.
Right.
It's over.
Morgan knows how it works. It's the greater good. That's what the standing principle is. Now, you know, Morgan, I saw something earlier today, which I think is pretty funny. And we might let people on a Friday have a shot at this. And it was, what's this dude's name? God, I don't have it. And he hosts a sports talk show somewhere, but I don't know where. And I don't see it. But the gist of it was, what's the one team in college football that you most want to lose every week? Now, if you're a Clemson fan, you can't say South Carolina. If you're a South Carolina fan, you can't say Clemson. That's obvious, okay? You got to give me somebody else. You have to give me somebody else that you most hate, you most want to lose. And you know, and I'm looking down this thread, Morgan, of all these answers, and there were some common themes. Indiana, as the you know, nouveau riche, they're getting a lot of hatred, as you might expect. You know, Cignetti eviscerated the SEC and told them they suck. so you know that. But I was surprised, Morgan. I actually thought I'd see some Clemson in there. I didn't see a lot of Clemson. I didn't have time to go down the whole list, but I didn't see that. I was surprised that sort of the one, there were actually multiple recurring theme teams, but I would say that in the answers that I went through, there was one clear leader, and I would never have thought of this clear leader. Alabama was a popular answer, but that wasn't them. Which team, Morgan, do you think the majority of people responding hated the most, wanted to see lose the most?
Honestly, my first thought wasn't Alabama or Georgia or even NC State. It was Miami was my first thought. I feel like a lot of people, because if you let Miami win, the Miami fan base will never give you the end of it. They just constantly throw it in your face how good they are.
Well, you better get used to it, because have you seen the recruiting?
Yeah, I know.
I posted that thing. I know. I retweeted that thing yesterday, the 247 recruiting rankings. In the ACC, Miami has six guys before Clemson has won, before anybody else has won. And then they have the next guy after Clemson's number seven. So the U is back. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. The U is back.
They are.
That's not it, though.
That's not it.
It's not the answer. I'll give you three more chances.
Okay. You like my dad. I'll give you three chances and the first two are free. Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Well, it has to be like a national name. I'm thinking like maybe Ohio State or Notre Dame.
See, if this is Ramona and I asked that question, she'd just say, I don't know. And I'd say, well, I needed a guess. She said, I don't know. Notre Dame was up there, but Notre Dame had some love in the category, but it wasn't that.
Not number one?
No.
And not Ohio State?
No.
Oh, well, now you've really... And it wasn't Alabama or Georgia?
There was one Penn State guy who hated, you know, blame Penn State for Sandusky.
I mean, who else would you hate?
See, I was a little surprised by this, but the, in the part that I went through, there were at least six or seven people who chose this team. What? And there, and no other team had more than three.
I mean, it must be the opposite of Ohio State. It must be Michigan.
Nope.
What?
I think you're out of guesses, my man.
I mean...
You should have called a friend.
The first two were free, right?
Yeah. Okay, okay. So go ahead. I'll give you one more. One more. I'll give you one more.
If you gave me one more, I wouldn't even know what one more to use because
well,
I feel like...
you got a whole big country. Try one more. Ramona.
I mean, there's not a... I mean, Southern Cal.
Tennessee.
Well, I guess people do hate the song. Either you love the song or you hate the song.
But nobody mentioned the song.
But they. But we all know either you love the song or you hate the song.
That's true. But are I guess what I found strange about that is, are they good enough to hate?
But the song.
I know. I know you're focused on the song. I get it. I know you're focused on the song. But is the team good enough to elicit that kind of hatred?
Well, see, I would have, in the 90s, I would have told you Florida State. But they're not good enough to hate right now.
That's my point.
I think Tennessee's in the same boat.
And they look like they're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Heupel's going to be there next year. Now, I think their schedule by SEC standards is a lot easier. You know, Tennessee people all love this Heupel stuff. But, you know, my concern about Heupel was his self-discipline. You know, for one, his team at UCF was absolutely undisciplined, worst I've ever seen. The only team I've ever seen who took four motion penalties the first four plays of a football game. It's the only time I've ever seen in my life. Plus, you know, Morgan, he's fattening up. He looks more like Bielma, and he played quarterback not that long ago. You know, so that's a little hard to understand.
More to love.
Not for me. You do you. You know, but I don't get why all these people would hate Tennessee. I'm not sure. I mean, no one mentioned the song, so maybe one person did. I don't know. That was probably you. You were probably on.
Yeah,
there.
I was in there.
Yeah, but other than that,
hate that song.
Why? Yeah, nobody really likes that.
I mean, their
song.
Mascot. I like dogs. Their mascot,
yeah.
Smokey.
Yeah, Smokey.
I like it.
But what is he? What is he? A blue tick?
And it is not really. It's kind of like a peach. You know, they like to say they're orange. But
oh yeah,
just
no,
a peach.
No, it's orange yellow, which is not a good color.
No,
orange yellow is
only
not
they like it.
Right, that's not a real color. You can't find that in the Crayola box. I don't think there's Tennessee orange.
Not in the ones that I can
I'm
afford.
I'm telling you, I've said this before on the show, but you got to let me design a box of Crayola crayons. You'd be the best Crayola crayon box
I never
box
could afford
ever.
The 250
oh, the
color
250 box.
I only got 16.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Your choice is really... Yeah. They got really desperate when they had to expand it out to that 240 or whatever it was. You know, they had to give you these all in-between shades, you know, and that's how you get to Tennessee. That's the only way you get to Tennessee orange. You get the box of 250 or whatever. Then you get to Tennessee orange. But Tennessee, the most hated team. I don't know. What do you people think? Who's your most hated team? Again, if you're Clemson, you can't say South Carolina because that's obvious. If you're South Carolina, you can't say Clemson. You got to give me something else. Who do you hate most and why? See, I think you were onto something earlier. I would think like if you polled most of the people here and you don't allow them to take the rival, I would think the other answers for most Clemson fans would be either Georgia, Notre Dame, or Florida State.
Yeah, I think it would be Georgia. Well, like I said, when I was in college and high school, it would be Florida State, but not right now. But because, I mean, I used to hate Florida State.
Now we have sympathy for Florida State.
You do. That's, I mean, like, you know, I was talking to the Locked
On. That's how you know you need to make a coaching change. When one of the rivals has sympathy for you, you need to make a coaching change.
So I was on Locked On Portal episode, and Brian Smith does it. He does Locked On FSU. I said, you excited about this season? He said, no, I want them to lose to get rid of.
His name is Brian Smith. Of course he does Locked On FSU.
He said, I want them to lose in order to get rid of Mike Norvell. So even their own fan base wants them to lose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you have sympathy there, I guess. But to me, you know, the first ever Clemson game I went – football game I went to, NC State beat Clemson at home, and I was disgusted by it, so I always hate NC State. Obviously, the Doran's shenanigans with the laptop and the towel.
Oh, my God, I can't believe people are still talking about that.
Oh, I still hate – I mean, I'm never going to forget it. But Florida State, yes, I definitely hate that. I remember one of the most – fun things I ever did with my dad is we came to a game and we had one of the Belk bags because, you know, Peter Warwick like stole something from the Belks.
Yeah.
You know, we used to like antagonize them. But now, I don't know, maybe Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was hated.
But Peter had a fall guy.
Yeah.
Peter had a fall guy.
Yeah, he was smarter than James
Remember
Winston.
Chris, the one of the funniest things that ever happened in the history of football was the National League of the National Football League of their rookie symposium, and Chris Carter, you know, the mature retired vet, was brought in to speak to the rookies and give them some sound advice. And you know, and this is God's honest truth. This actually happened. If you don't know this, Morgan, Chris Carter was brought in to speak at the NFL Rookie Symposium, and the advice he gave rookie players was wherever you go to have a fall guy that you can pay $5,000 to $10,000 to so you can get out of any sort of trouble. Imagine, I do not think that was the original intent of the Rookie Symposium. I don't think that was quite the idea, but yeah, Peter had one. You know, you talk about a guy who was an unfriggin' believable college player who never went on to be that type of player at the pro level. That was him. I mean, you know, you could sort of say that Sammy Watkins was a little like that.
I mean, disliked at all?
No. Insane college player who doesn't go on to be that player at the pro level.
Well, I mean, as you know, being the NFL expert, the jump is still pretty hard because
it wasn't hard for Nuke.
No, but there's a different kind of person you have to be when it's truly your job. I still think you can get away with the college world of just being good, better than everybody else. But then when it's like you're 9 to 5, you know, like, I mean, NFL requires a certain amount of effort.
Well, it does.
And consistency.
But the more predictable trait guy in terms of making the leap would have been Sammy over Nuke.
Oh, yeah, true. But, you know, he also dealt with some injuries and stuff like that. That's another thing.
Everybody does that.
But how they manage through it.
But that's part of it.
It is, but that's, I think, one of the reasons why people can't cut it.
Look, I'll tell you one of the biggest issues that teams make in drafting guys, and this goes back to Vince Lombardi believing this then, and it's always been true. You need guys who are self-motivated.
Right.
You can't change them. People are what they are. You need people to be self-motivated if they're ever going to achieve greatness. You know, I go back to the Brady thing. It's not just that he had physical talent. It's that he got every ounce out of his ability, every single friggin' ounce. And that's the reality of what it takes to be a great player. It's what separates these guys. It's why some of these guys just don't succeed. They have the talent. Talent alone is not enough. Talent is an ingredient. It's part of the recipe, but that alone is not enough. You have to have an unwavering commitment to be great. You have to have a drive that other people don't have. That's what it takes. And so, you know, if I'm drafting people, I am always looking for that. I am looking for that intangible element of the guy who is self-motivated, because that makes a difference. I think Nuke was self-motivated. Now, you can say that, you know, again, he had a Saturn-sized chip on his shoulder. You can say whatever you want. I don't care where they get it from. Where a player gets it from is of no consequence to me. It's that they have it, you know, and Nuke basically forever has wanted to prove everybody wrong. I think he wanted to prove Clemson wrong. I think Nuke thinks he's the best receiver to ever play here.
Oh, yeah,
and,
definitely.
And maybe he was. Maybe he was. All right, we'll be back.
As a Florida State fan, you would think I would say Clemson, and there might have been a time that I would have said that, but actually because of your head ball coach, I have a lot of respect for Clemson, what they put on the field year in and year out. You know, I may be in the minority of other Florida State fans, but what you guys do, I respect. No, for me, that hated fan base, it's rotated some, but it's got to be a toss-up between Georgia and Alabama. Not just the fan base, the people, the stadiums, everything, man. I can't stand either one of them.
Yeah, well, you know, he looked the direction that Alabama's going in. You may not hate them for much longer, because if they keep sucking and getting worse, then they may not be worth your trouble. Actually, you know,
yeah, but see,
it's sort of a big year for Georgia in that regard too. You know, people talk about the decline in Clemson the last few years. There's been a decline at Georgia too. I don't know whether people want to talk about it, but there has been.
Now that's fair. You'll never hear me feeling sorry for Alabama fans, none of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll never happen. Georgia, they're a deserving fan base, but they're still obnoxious. I'll get up. But that's all I got.
Thank you.
I'll take it off the air, Walt. Have a good one.
Thank you. Hey, Morgan, do you remember the Alabama chick who was in the stands kicking and fighting?
Oh, yeah.
That's still not my favorite one. My favorite Alabama fan of all time, Morgan, was a 26-year-old substitute teacher. And he was distributing heroin, allegedly distributing heroin in and around the school as a substitute teacher. Alabama, they came to get him, Morgan, in a paddy wagon. I didn't know those things actually existed, but they did. This is all facts. They came to get him in an old-fashioned paddy wagon with the bars on the back.
Recently?
This is a few years ago.
They still make those?
In Alabama, they do. This was a few years ago. I don't know exactly how many years ago. Ramona would know.
Was he shackled in time? You know, downtown, like on the main street.
Yeah, right outside the school.
I mean, but was he like, you know, arrested and like tied up on Main Street like back in the day? You know.
Well, not that. No, but right outside the school, they threw him. They threw him in the paddy wagon, and as God is my witness, Morgan, and you can find this somewhere, he turned and looked to the camera as they were loading him in, and he said, "Roll Tide." I am sure that is not the kind of advertising Alabama really wanted. But there's another reason. There's another reason to hate them. 26-year-old Alabama fan distributing heroin around the school system, allegedly loaded into the paddy wagon, screams "Roll Tide." All right. I was talking quarterbacks a little bit with Kwok earlier. Kwok had an article that I didn't hear who it was from. It had some anonymous coaches talking about ACC and SEC coaches. I think it was something on ESPN, but that's all I caught of it. But you know, I posted obviously my rankings on the ACC and SEC quarterbacks some time ago, and you know, the first four names in order that apparently these coaches selected based on these conversations in the ACC were the exact way I had them. It may be the fifth guy was too, which I think is really interesting, because I did not think that the fifth guy would be getting that type of acclaim. You know, I thought it was something that was more or less going to be a road rage thing, but an us thing. But it was interesting to see that they seemingly were acknowledging the same thing. Morgan, I had asked you to pull up those ACC quarterback rankings. You have my ACC quarterback rankings. You have them?
Yes, sir, on the RoarFM.com.
All right, let's talk about those rankings a little bit. Also, at some point today, I want to talk a little bit about most interesting teams in college football. And I'll take some suggestions for you. But before we get to any of that, you had a we were talking about Draft Bus. And so you did a search on Draft Bus.
Right.
And who do you come up with?
Guys that did well in college and didn't do so well in the NFL. Their careers kind of came nowhere close to matching.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you have?
Number one, Archie Griffin, running back, Ohio State.
Two-time Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know how to break this to people. I never would have given Archie Griffin a Heisman Trophy. He was really productive. He put up big numbers. I don't deny any of that. There are going to be Ohio State people who hate this. I just don't think he was ever the best player in the country. And so I didn't have big expectations for him when he went to the NFL. But I get it. Archie Griffin, that's a good one.
Tim Tebow is number two.
Yeah, well, I mean, only the idiot Denver Broncos would have drafted him in round one. Nobody else would have drafted him at all. And somehow they drafted him in round one, which is just unthinkable. Guy can't throw a pass.
He still won a playoff game.
Great.
He did.
I don't care. Can't throw a forward pass. Throws like a girl. A young girl.
Number three?
Not like Sophie Cunningham.
Matt Leinart. Which you mentioned yesterday was kind of
always overrated. They evaluated the offense, not the player. And that was a classic screw up. So, yeah.
Also won the Heisman.
Yeah. Again, bogusly.
Another Heisman, Eric Crouch.
These quarterbacks. Also bogusly. I mean, Eric Crouch, look, Eric Crouch was a power eye option offense quarterback. There's no way that was ever going to translate in that little guy to the NFL. I mean, he could have been a wide receiver for the Patriots had the timing allowed for it.
This isn't top five, but it's top five for me, so I'm skipping all those.
Okay.
Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, I mean, could throw a football 90 yards, but had other issues and didn't want to study at the quarterback position at all. So just a guaranteed fail. Who else do they have listed?
I'm trying to look at non-quarterbacks because they have, like, you know.
Well, just give me everything.
Okay, Jason White, Oklahoma.
Okay, again.
Another Heisman.
Yeah, Jason White had all sorts of knee injury issues, and he wasn't really going to play quarterback in the National Football League anyway.
Johnny Manziel, of course.
Yeah, all sorts of demons.
Andre Ware.
Yeah, played in a system offense at Houston, a run and shoot offense, and it was just never going to translate.
Rashawn Salaam, did I say that right?
Yeah, 2,000-yard runner at Colorado, was 6'2" and ran vertically, and you can't really do that in the National Football League unless you're Eric Dickerson. But then he also led the world in fumbles.
And then Charles Rogers, Michigan State wide receiver.
Oh, went to Detroit, and when they were making a series of bad picks. Charles Rogers, he looked the part collegiately. I can't deny that, but just never did anything.
You want the honorable mentions?
Okay.
Gino Toretta.
Ah! Gino Toretta! We just talked about him the other day. I had him on the show, Morgan. Gino Toretta was on the show. Morgan, get this. Gino Toretta's people called us and begged us to put him on the show. Why? I have no idea. I have no idea. And because
did you talk about him being a bust?
No, wait, no. Gino thinks he's the greatest Heisman Trophy winner of all time. It's a fact. He told us that like 50 times that he was the greatest Heisman. He completed like 55% of his passes, Morgan. Tebow had a better arm. I don't know how this dude won the Heisman Trophy ever. Nor do I know why his people ever contacted us. Maybe they contacted everybody. I don't know, but it seemed like us. And it, so maybe he was going to be in the area. I have no idea. But you know, and people asked about that and said, well, didn't you contact him? I said, no, look, if I'm going to put a Heisman Trophy winner on the show, he's like the last guy on earth we're calling. And there are lots of guys I would call before we got the Gino friggin' Toretta. But that was, you know, Morgan, I've done this a long time. That's the strangest interview I ever did, ever. Because he talked about nothing but his greatness at Miami. And again, he sucked. So he was not an NFL bust. He was an NFL never should have been. That's not the same thing. No NFL team should have ever drafted him for anything.
I mean, to be fair, if I won the Heisman, you'd probably say that about me. You probably already say that about me.
Yeah, that's true. Greater good.
Peter Warwick.
Yeah.
Is on the list.
Yeah, he's a bust. We already talked about him.
Steve Emptman. He's a defensive lineman.
Yeah, here's this one I'm not buying. Okay. He played for Washington, the university, Huskies. He is one of the greatest college defensive linemen who ever lived. He would have been J.J. Watt, but he blew up his knee multiple times. And
see, I kind of give him a pass if they blow up their knee. It's not their fault.
And I'm telling you, he was very J.J. Watt-like. He's truly one of the great college players, and he would have that would have translated. But unfortunately for Steve Entman, he blew up his knee multiple times.
Two more. Tony Mandarich?
Mandrich.
Mandrich.
Yeah, Captain Steroid. He was on the cover. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. All they ever counted were his pancake blocks. He was like the biggest human being ever, and none of it worked. Eventually, they slid him inside to guard, and he actually had a pretty productive career. And he acknowledged his issues. He acknowledged the steroid stuff, but he slid into guard. And I got to give him a little bit of credit. He sort of reinvented himself. And went on to have a fairly productive career. It's not again, he was supposed to be the greatest offensive lineman of all time. That's what he's supposed to be. That never happened. None of that ever happened.
And last one, Troy Smith.
Yeah, the Ohio State quarterback. I don't think he had the skill set that was going to translate to the pro level. I probably shouldn't know every one of these guys like I know my own name, but I do.
But
every single play, every single.
So was it?
I'm not looking at your list. You're just reading these names off whatever you're.
Yeah,
looking.
You could have probably listed this too, but right. I just think was it because they couldn't put forth the effort needed? I mean, it seemed like there was a good, healthy amount of guys that just had bad knees.
Yeah, I think it's a whole assortment of different reasons that almost have to be filed under different categories. I don't think it's just one thing on that list. I will tell you without question who the worst draft pick of all time was, and it was none of those guys.
Really? None of these?
Yeah, none of those.
Okay.
Guys. The New Orleans Saints once drafted a kicker in round one with the 13th pick of the NFL draft, named Russell Erksleben. They drafted a frigging kicker with the 13th pick in round one. Russell Erksleben, who kicked for Texas and kicked barefoot, he had like a 62-yarder or something in college at Texas. His NFL career, Morgan, he was a kicker and punter. He was an unmitigated disaster. Look up Russell Erksleben on Wiki and see what it says about what he actually did at the pro level. Think about the absurdity of taking any kicker in round one, kicker punter in round one of the NFL draft. They didn't just take him in round one. They took him with, I want to say the 13th pick, but it was something like that. It was either 11, 12, 13. When I think of it, I think 13, but I don't know for sure. What do you have on Russell Erksleben?
I mean, just what it says on Wiki?
Yeah.
American former professional football player and investor, highly decorated college kicker for the University of Texas. Erksleben was a three-time All-American punter, 76, 77, 78. Set the record for the longest successful field goal at 67 yards, which is tied currently. He unexpectedly selected by the Saints in the first round, 11th overall pick.
11th. 11th. That's right. 11th.
11th is worse.
Yes.
1979 NFL draft as a combination kicker punter. So,
yes.
He was a dual threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it turns out he was a no threat in either.
He remains the highest drafted punter and the second highest drafted kicker. Still the second highest for kickers. Erksleben spent only 6 years in the NFL and was widely described as one of the Saints' biggest busts. He later became a currency investor and was convicted of securities fraud.
He was not.
He was released in 2005. So he's in prison for 6 years.
Wow. Wow. So it actually, if you think it couldn't get worse for Russell Erksleben, it actually did.
And then he was convicted
again.
He's in
jail with Rudy.
Then he was convicted
again. After he got out of prison?
In 2014.
Okay.
For 7.5 years.
Okay, I rest my case. That is without question the worst draft pick of all time. The guy had a longer jail term than he did NFL career. And how many field goals did he make, Morgan, in professional football?
Okay, let's see. Four.
Four field goals. Drafted number 11.
Four for eight. 50%.
Four for eight is his total field goal haul, but he served like 10 years in the Big House.
13.
13?
I mean.
Okay, he had eight total field goal attempts in his NFL career after being drafted number 11, but he had a 13 years in the federal pen. Okay, that is the worst draft pick. That's even worse than I thought. I didn't think there was any way to enhance number 11 kicker punter, which is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. But then dude goes on to spend 13 years in federal prison.
This segment brought to you by Erksleben Financial.
That's right. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Gilstrap Roofing. Gilstrap is the best. They've been doing this for way longer than Russell Erksleben was in prison. They've been doing this for 90-plus years. They are the most trusted roofer in the upstate. Obviously, your family knows them. Generations of your family members doing business with generation of theirs. They are the most complete. Customer satisfaction is the reason. So much of their business comes from previous customers and referrals. Gilstrap works with you and your insurance company to help streamline the claims process. If you're looking for a full-service roofing contractor with extensive experience who's fully licensed, bonded, and insured, look no further than Gilstrap Roofing and the Gilstrap Difference, serving the upstate since 1935. That's just crazy. Family-owned and operated across four generations. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Do you hear any other roofer make that statement? Fully licensed, bonded, insured, full-service roofing contractor, extensive experience with hail damage and wind damage claims, GAF Master Elite certified, gives the option to upgrade your warranty. Like and follow Gilstrap Roofing on Facebook and Instagram for a chance to win their monthly giveaway. I promise you won't miss out. Call today, 864-269-1232. Visit them online, gilstrapproofing.com. Tell them I say it. You know, just when you think you've heard everything or seen everything, you get this. The headline by the poster is, anyone ever hire an escort to watch a game with? He knew his trouble right from that point. He said, I normally don't invite women over to my place to watch games because my TV isn't very big and I don't want to be judged. But it would be nice to have some company while watching Dabo and the team run down the hill. This seems like a great way to watch the game without feeling rude by being totally locked in. For those of you who've tried this, how much does it cost? I don't mean to brag, but I won $150 on a scratch-off yesterday, so budget shouldn't be an issue. And before anyone assumes my intentions are pure, I'm talking about just watching the game. I'll leave the fornication to SEC fans. I don't know what part of this is the funniest. I think this is, was this all supposed to be funny, Morgan? Because it is. Or is this for real?
I don't know.
The line about, I don't mean to brag, but I won $150 on a scratch
that
off.
That sounds like he's joking.
Makes me think he's joking.
Yeah.
And if he is, it's a remarkably clever post by Fast Chad. That's unbelievable stuff right there. And I'm pretty sure that he's just joking. But in answer to that, I don't know, Morgan. I've never gone the escort route. Have you gone the escort route?
No.
Admit to it if you had?
I mean, I guess you wouldn't, you know. So then, could you ever really trust?
So you can't trust either of our answers then.
Now, you know, here's the thing.
We're both saying no.
This is my question though. I've been to Vegas where it's like you get out of the airport terminal and they've just throwing cards at you to get these ladies, right?
They're everywhere, Morgan. They were all on social media before. They were all over.
You mean in good old God's country?
Yes.
Pickens County.
Well, I don't know about Pickens County.
You mean to tell me there's a number I could call? Is it a number? Is it like, do you just Google this and say, hey?
I'll tell you what, you can just go down to Wes Whitner and yell out your window. Wes Whitner and Anderson, yell out your window. Now you're going to get a lower class escort there. We don't really call them escorts there. We have different words for them. But you could go down there and I don't know, probably for $15 you can get a full game he had a full game escort, I would think. But yeah, this is a this may be one of the more original posts.
Wasn't there a movie like that where the guy hired just the escort just to be his friend? Is that like Pretty Woman? Is that kind of the idea?
I don't know. I have no idea. I do know this. You get the road rage, authentic, cross your heart, strike me with lightning. I've never hired an escort. I don't really get hiring an escort to begin with.
You definitely $150. That's
first of all, does the escort come with a health guarantee? Is there a pedigree that we can check on the health? Because I think that's sort of important now. You know, allegedly these brothels, like in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
they all come with health guarantees. And I don't know how good those guarantees are. You find that out later. But
was it like a COVID card you get from them? Like, let me see your card.
We're not thinking COVID. We're thinking things that might be far worse than COVID.
I don't know if you could really guarantee this.
Penicillin can't fix everything.
It's a little bit too late.
That's right. But if you're not out there. And you don't have those health guarantees. I don't know, like, the escort services provide them. You know what we ought to do? We ought to call one up on air.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Is there a number? I mean,
yeah, there's a number.
Only thing I would think of is today's age is like Tinder. You know,
look it up in there.
I had a coworker that would go on Tinder and would just find girls.
Look, it's not your computer.
I'm not.
And it's not on the one.
No,
I'm on.
No, you're gonna get me in trouble with Ben.
No, I'm just saying.
If I get a virus, there's like seven monitors here.
Do a Google search on escort services.
In South Carolina. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. This is a job.
You know, I drive past this.
Ben will look at the work.
I drive past this Oriental place all the time. I can never decide whether it's a Chinese restaurant or a massage parlor. It's far enough off the road that I'm not entirely sure.
Is it open 24 hours?
I don't know. It's far enough off the road. I'm not entirely sure. I saw police cars there one day, but I don't know if they were there to eat or to arrest.
Does it say truckers welcome?
I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
It's not legal here like it is Vegas, you know? Isn't it legal in Vegas?
But that's why it's an escort service, not full-fledged prostitution.
Oh, so you call you just rename it.
It's a technical thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, my lack of knowledge should hint to the fact that I haven't done this.
Yeah.
But hopefully it does.
That and the fact your wife's listening. In any case, what a great headline. Anyone ever hire an escort to watch a game with?
Yeah, what are you doing? We're just watching Georgia LSU with Mercedes.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, we're going to determine during the game to what degree your services are required based on the way the game is going.
Wait a minute. If it's going bad, what happens? If it's going good, what happens?
It could go either way. It could go either way. If it's going really bad, you might need some extra love. If it's going really good, you might not have time for it.
Okay.
You know, it depends. It depends. It also depends on, quite frankly, the quality of the escort, I would imagine.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Like, if your escort looks like, apparently, like Bridget Fonda does now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The same person. Can't be the same person.
It apparently is. I had to look that one up. I posted this on my Twitter feed. It's Bridget Fonda, who apparently was in a movie called Single White Female. And I wrote something to the effect, well, she's sure going to be a single white female now. Because if you look at Bridget Fonda, I would not have had any idea. Now, look, I don't really know her anyway. I don't know all these celebrity people, but I had to look it up when because this was the after. I needed to see the before when the New York Post was. Ooh, it's been rough. It's been a rough couple decades there. We'll be back.